It's hard to preach anytime. It's probably the greatest blessing that I have is having the privilege to preach and stand behind the pulpit and to proclaim God's Word. But when you preach, maybe every couple months, I've got 4 or 5 sermons, you know, at any time that I want to preach. And I changed my message several times, and even I told you my title this morning. And with Roundup Sunday, I thought it's a good salvation-type message tied in with that as well. But I did change my title. So my title tonight is Pruning Brings Forth Fruit. And if you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 15. Part of this lesson becomes a great illustration for children. One time, using this passage, I was preaching in a chapel service with, I think it was 3rd through 8th graders, and I brought in a lamp to use an illustration. And I went to one of the guys that was working there and asked to borrow his side cuts, you know, his wire dykes. I wasn't about to use my own, because I knew what was going to happen. So I plugged in a lamp, turned it on, and was talking about being connected to the vine and how your source, you know, is in that connection. Just like in a lamp, you're connected to the power source. And you take those wire dykes and you clip the wire, and obviously the lights go out. Now, I had them turn the house lights down so they could see the effect better. But you also create new lights when you do that, in green and blue. It's, you know, sparks are coming out of it. And it took a chunk out of the side of those wire cuts, about, you know, a half moon, you know, that wire. Fortunately, they were craftsmen, and I didn't give them back to him that night. I went to Sears and got another pair and gave them back to him. But we look here in this passage, and we're going to read here in verse 1 of John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. When we look at this passage, we see just a simple concept or theme here of abiding in Christ, or increased fruitfulness in your Christian life. The process of pruning is needed for new and greater growth to occur. And this is true both in plants, and it's also true in our spiritual lives. You know, we start out with no fruit. At the time of salvation, we are just following Christ. Then we have fruit, and we rely on God to prune us. And because of our faith in God, and He prunes us, then we start bearing more fruit. And as we produce that more, you know, fruit, which causes us to really grow in our prayer life, we have a fellowship then of a deeper, you know, deeper value with the Lord. And then the result of that fellowship with God in our prayer life will produce much fruit. And for us to have that fruitfulness in our life, we have to be connected to the source of that fruit. And connected to the vine, and as we walk, as we live, as we talk with others, as we live Christ, it is necessary for us as believers to continue or to go back to that source, to stay connected to God so that we can not only grow, but that we can disciple and help others to grow in their walk, in their daily lives as well. You must abide in Christ for the intimacy needed for increased fruitfulness. In order for spiritual productivity to result in your personal ministry, you need to have an intimacy with the Lord in four areas. The first area of intimacy should be your meditating. We must be meditating on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, for our Christian walk to not only continue, but for it to prosper, for it to bear fruit. Drop down here. We read several verses there. Look down at verse 7 of John 15. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Meditate on God. You know, we should meditate daily on His person, on His power, on His plan, and on His purpose. You know, meditating is more than just, you know, praying and reading. But we are sitting around and thinking about, you know, God and what His will is for our life. You know, instead of being amused by the world's entertainments, you know, awe, you know, is to not, and muse is to think. We're to be thinking on God intimately. When we wake up in the morning, one of the first thoughts we should have, besides I'm hungry, is, you know, about God. We should think, what does God want me to do with my life today? How can I please Him and not myself? How can I do God's will and not my own will? Many times we get our own will in the way. We get ourselves in our focus instead of God. Not only should we daily meditate on God, but we need to meditate on the Word of God. Colossians 3:16, let the Word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We're to dwell, to live in, as in a temple. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, for us to meditate, you know, we are to ponder, to imagine, to speak, to study, to talk. But in our daily lives, in all areas, that we are focusing on God. We're allowing Him to work through us. We are trusting His Spirit. We're trusting His Word to make us a better Christian each day. In our Christian life, we have ups and downs. We sin, we fail. Pastor mentioned this morning. Every day, we face things in our life that we mess up, that we sin. And the only way that we can make those things right is to get up, ask God for forgiveness, and to go on living the Christian life by pouring God's Word into us, by trusting in His Spirit to work in us and through us, so that we can be not only a good Christian, but an example to the believers that see us and watch our testimony, as well as the world that has never accepted Christ, that we have our power source in the Word of God, that we are abiding in Him, that we are trusting in Him. Because life does come at you fast, and things pile up in our lives that we can't deal with, but God can. And His Word has the answers to all the problems in this life. It's trust Him. Depend on Him. Grow ourselves, being discipled by God and discipling others that can follow our example as well. Bible study and memorization is not only good for kids in, you know, children's classes or in a Christian school, but it should be a normal part of your devotion routine. And if you're planning to grow in your personal walk with God, then you need to take some time and to get intimate with God in His Word and study it, not just a cursory reading. I read those 10 verses, or I read that chapter, but apply God's Word. How can I live the Christian life in this world that we see is getting worse and worse? Not just politically, socially, the evil that's out there, the things that our children have to face that is multiplied from when I was young or when you were young. So much is going on. We need God. Our children need God. We need the Word of God to give us that strength, that power supply back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Meditation is the beginning of a life of growth and spiritual fruitfulness. You know, you have time for what you make time for. Is the priority in your life to be producing more spiritual fruit or more worldly fruit? Again, you must abide in Christ for the intimacy needed for increased fruitfulness. Your intimacy with the Lord should not only include your meditation, but also the second area of intimacy should be your asking of the Lord. Let's read a few more verses here. We read verse 7, look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Then look down in verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. We should ask anything, and it shall be done, if you are abiding in him. Living, dwelling, depending on him for each day, for each step, for each problem, that we trust God, not ourselves. We may have got ourselves in the mess, but only God can get us out of it. We need to rely on him and his word for that direction. You should be able to talk to the Lord about the most intimate area or the sin that is in your life. Develop your relationship by communication, like with any other personal relationship. Communication is the key. The more you talk to him, the more you will understand his will and his word in your life. Not only ask anything, but ask in the name of Christ. If he is your Savior, then you will be producing fruit in your life. Bring forth fruit here, verse 16, that you should be rich in good works, faithful and successful in spreading my gospel, is what he's saying. This was, you know, the great business to which they were set apart, and this they faithfully accomplish. And it may be added that this is the great end for which Christians are chosen. It is not to be idle, useless, or simply to seek enjoyment. It is to do good and to spread as far as possible the rich spiritual blessings which the gospel is fitted for all mankind. God has a purpose and plan for your life. God has a purpose and plan for this world. And it includes the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and his word to be spread. We see Brother Dan preparing and just a hard task of schooling at that level. But it is necessary to continue to reach these names that we see here on those black, you know, walls and boards there of unreached people throughout this world. But you know what? It's a hard work walking across your street and talking to your neighbor about Christ. Unreached people group in your neighborhood, at your work, friends and family, not only here in Ocala, but throughout the world that you know and communicate with. We have a responsibility to put Christ in a light that shines to everybody that is in our sphere of influence. Your fruit should remain. And this means, first, that the effect of their labors would be permanent on mankind. Their efforts were not to be like those of false teachers, the results of whose labors soon vanish away. But their gospel was to spread and take a deep and permanent hold on men. Second, there is included also in this declaration the idea that their labors were to be unending. They were sent forth to be diligent in their work of spreading the gospel until the day of their death. So their fruit, the continued product of growth of their relationship in their souls, was to remain or to be continually produced until God should call them from their work. You know, the Christian is to be devoted to the Savior for life. You're to toil without intermission and without being weary of your work till God calls you home. The Savior never called a disciple to serve Him merely for part of his life, or to suppose him to be a Christian when his religion produced no fruit. He that enlists under the banner of the Son of God does it for life. This is a lifelong, not only commitment and obligation when we get saved, but we have the privilege of going from the day that we're saved until the day that we die, telling others about the cross of Christ. This is something that we should do naturally. Go ye therefore, teach all nations. We're going about our business. As Book of James, as they were scattered abroad, as they were going, they were telling others about Christ. No matter what happens politically, no matter whatever happens in our nation, no matter what happens in your personal life, your responsibility is to go forth and tell others about Christ. As you live the gospel, as you walk in holiness with God, that you develop that relationship and you are being discipled continually by God so that you can have much fruit that will remain in the lives of others. The appointment that they should go and bring forth fruit and that their prayers to the Father should be answered are both parts of one whole. We're to pray without ceasing, but serve without quitting in dependence on God. You must abide in Christ for the intimacy needed for increased fruitfulness. The intimacy needed for fruitfulness not only includes meditation and asking, but the third area of intimacy should be your loving of the Lord. Look down at verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Then look down at verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I commanded you. And then drop down to verse 17. These things I command you, that ye love one another. We're to love in word. God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. We know there's a problem with sin. We all sin. We're all sinners. We all come short of the glory of God. Penalty of sin is death and separation from God from all eternity. But the payment of sin is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all we have to do is take that free gift, is to reach out, repent of our sins, and receive Him. Because of the love of God, once we are His child, we have that same love. And we're to love in word. Mark 20:30 says, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. We're to express to the Lord your love for Him by telling Him. This is true worship. Adoring Him for who He is. We're to show our love to God, to Him directly, and to others around us. We're also to love in deed. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Express to the Lord your love for Him by obeying Him, by living for Him, by having a plan to serve Him and to stick to that and stick to His Word. God's love should produce a love in you to, in return, love Him and therefore be filled with His joy that you have a love for others. Don't be bitter. Don't be grumpy. Don't be upset all the time. But allow the Word of Christ to dwell in you richly. That you, in your daily walk, no matter what happens, no matter what's going on, that you have a love for God and a love for man. That you can serve God, that you can please God, and that you can live for Him. This brings us to our fourth point. You must abide in Christ for the intimacy needed for increased fruitfulness. And the last area of intimacy should be your obeying of the Lord. We skip verse 10. Let's go back and read that. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. We have talked already about serving constantly and for life. That is what God's plan is for us as believers. Many times we know much about God, but we don't know God in an intimate relationship. As a strong and growing Christian, you should be obeying God's will, His Word, and His way actively each day. God wants our heart. And if He has our heart, then we will follow Him. We will obey Him. Don't let things pull you down. Keep your eyes on Him. So much encouragement we look at God's Word. And that's why it's necessary that each day we fill ourselves up. And you get done reading or you go about your day and you don't have the joy of the Lord, then take some time and talk to God. Open the Bible if you have opportunity at your work or somewhere where you can just read more of God's Word. Put more in your life. Here we see this bearing much fruit in verse 10. This is discipleship. That we are to continue bearing fruit. There's a lot of Christians out there that are sterile. They cannot and do not produce any other Christians. They don't see anybody saved. We have to have our heart right with God. We have to have a growing relationship with Him where we are connected to that power source, that vine, so that we can have that free-flowing love and faith that helps us to grow, to produce fruit, so that we can reach out and help others, both in evangelism and discipleship, to draw others to Christ, to bring more people to Him. In order for you to be a disciple, you must be bearing a good amount of fruit in your spiritual life. In order for you to be making disciples, you must be training others to be bearing much fruit as well. Back to the Great Commission. You know, that we are to, you know, be teaching others to observe all things that Christ said He has commanded us. Be training, be teaching, be loving others in your life, that they will bear much fruit as well. You must abide in Christ for the intimacy needed for increased fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is not only a blessing, but it's also a command of God. If you're not growing in your Christian life, then you are shrinking spiritually. A lot of Christians are stagnating because they are not growing in Christ. And there's no outlet for them. There's no ministry. No one else that they're discipling. And they stagnate. Take in the Word of God. Walk in the Spirit of God. Obey the will of God. And in all of that, you'll be helping others and training others to do so also. Very simple passage. Great passage. Are you connected to God? As we come to church, let's not play church. Let's not come week after week and sit, stare at the pastor preaching, but listen to the Word of God. Apply it to your life and be transformed in Christ daily. By faith, by dependence on Him, the same dependence for salvation is the same dependence we need for sanctification, further growth, or discipleship in our lives, in the lives of others. Let's bow our heads. Be honest with yourself and God. As a believer that wants to grow, make a choice today to intimately abide or depend on the Lord each day in one or all of these areas. Meditating, asking, loving, or obeying so that you can bear much fruit in your Christian walk. Father, I do pray that you would be with us tonight. Lord, as we simply take your word and look at the details, God, I pray that you would help us to apply your truth personally, individually, as we walk before you each day of our lives. I pray that you would help us to lean on you, to trust you, to walk with you. God, I pray that you would just help us this day to plan, to prepare, to live the Christian walk. Forgive us, Lord, for giving up. Forgive us for not sharing. Forgive us for not being that example. Forgive us, Lord, for not witnessing for you, for not reading your word enough, not developing that relationship with you, trying to fix things ourselves instead of relying on you. God, help us to be connected to you. Ye are the vine, Lord. We are just the branches. Help us to bear fruit that will remain because of you. Lord, we love you and thank you for what you will do in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen.